We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless.
All right, welcome back. Screwtape Letters Podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We are unpacking the Easter eggs found in the Screwtape Letters in season two of our podcast. And we find ourselves in letter number 14, where Screwtape points out that something is starting to change in the patient, something is starting to change in the man, specifically that he seems to be becoming humble. He's kind of taken on a spirit and demeanor of humility and consistency in his walk. And Screwtape points out to Wormwood that this is very bad.
And Galen, isn't that something that the demonic hate? Because, you know, Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. And the more we try to be like him, the more humility in us will be. And for the demonic, that's the worst case scenario for someone living.
Right. Well, it's also the worst case for them, because it's people that are, you know, kind of walking in truth, and they're starting to become, it's almost like the same emotional arc that happens with humanity in general. The older you get, the more tempered you get a little bit more realistic and emotionally stable and regulated. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You start to stabilize in your walk. Apparently, this guy that was stumbling and having these big grand come back to Jesus moments was going through fewer radical highs and lows, and seems to be leveling out and just a little bit more humble about himself as well. And that's not something that's liked by the demonic by any stretch of the imagination. So the advice to Wormwood in this episode is really try to just play with the levers of his mind, get him to become prideful, get him to become conceited. Even when he's becoming humble, get him to realize how humble he's being, so that a thought of pride can get in there and can pull him away.
And I think I've known people with that trait, and maybe even fell into it myself, because it's an easy thing to do is to think, or especially if someone tells you're a good guy or you're a good person, to go, oh, I'm a good person. Right. And then all of a sudden you're glossing yourself, and that's where you don't want to go, because pride is the enemy of humility throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. Right.
Yeah. And we can get into it in a minute about the way pride's used in today's world. And boy, have we got like 1,000 exemplaries of that situation. But yeah, this idea of how humble should you be in life? Is there a floor to it? Is there a ceiling to it?
Well, you know, I think it's a great question, because, you know, false humility, even people that are trying to act humble, can be a sense of pride. You know, I've heard it defined this way, and we probably reference this in season one when we hit this letter, because I talk about it a lot. One of the best definitions of humility I've ever heard is rightly knowing your place. So if you are really good at something, and have authority in something, or maybe you're in charge of something, it's okay to walk in that authority. And it's okay to know that you're in charge and exceeding in a certain capacity. It's not good to be braggadocious about it. But humility isn't saying, oh, I'm not really that good, I'm just terrible. That's fake humility.
Fake. Yep.
Humility does involve walking in truth. And maybe you are good at something, or maybe you do exceed or excel or have authority over something, to be able to walk in that, or to put yourself down and say, yeah, I'm not there just yet. So knowing your place, no matter how high or low that is, but walking in it accurately to use the gift of whatever God has given you for his glory. And that's what the demonic is always trying to say. You know, he uses the example, try to get, you know, talented guys to think they're untalented and beautiful girls to think they're ugly. Because essentially what Satan wants you to do is, well, let them count that off as fake humility and then throw away a good gift that God might be able to use in their life. So knowing your place to me is humility, no matter how high or low that may be, understanding it and being comfortable to walk in it in a godly way.
Galen, I've got a question for you here. Can a person be humble without, one, knowing God, or two, depending on God?
Can someone be humble without knowing or depending on God?
Because think about what humility is.
Well, I think if you look at humility as, like I said, understanding your place, no matter how high or low that is, but using it ultimately to steward something as a gift from God, I think that is a key piece of humility. And ultimately, I don't think you're able to do that if you don't know the Lord. Because Screwtape, can I quote Screwtape real quick
to answer that?
Yep. So towards the end of the chapter, he actually talks about a doctrine. He says, the enemy will also try to render real in the patient's mind a doctrine which they all profess, but find it difficult to bring home to their feelings. The doctrine that they did not create themselves and their talents were given to them. In other words, even Screwtape is pointing out the fact that God knows and men know that their own life and their own talents and anything that they have to boast about ultimately is a gift from God, and it's something to be received with gratitude and then used as worship. And that the pride is really just a proper regarding and utilization of gifts, and you cannot do that if you don't know the Lord.
See, I also look at that as a great moment to focus people on the idea that you may have all these gifts from God. You may be wealthy, you may be talented, you may, you know, be the best baseball player or football player in the state. You may be the best business person. You may just be a genius at things. They are gifts from God, but don't focus on your value as the gifts God has given you. Be thankful and grateful for those, but make sure your focus stays on that relationship with God and not just the relationship with the gifts from God.
Right. Well, and I think it's a crucial, it's absolutely crucial. Look to the gift giver, not the gift. And then also be willing to, like I said, walk in authority to use what God has given you, but also be willing to lay it down if he's ever asking you to do that. Can I shift gears just a little bit and drop what I think is the Easter egg? It's the message behind the message of this chapter. So everything in the Christian life, specifically and especially humility, is modeled after Christ's example of humility. And there's a really key passage, and it's debated a lot how that's what this passage exactly means and how it's used. And it comes from Christ's example of humility in Philippians chapter 2. So I'm going to actually just read this passage. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 2 and unpack really briefly the way in which Jesus was humble, because that is the model for how we are supposed to be humble. And this concept, to me, is the big Easter egg. I think C.S. Lewis is predicating a lot of the chapter on it, but doesn't hint at it directly. Doesn't mention it directly. Philippians 2, it says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, Paul says, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and of one mind, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, fighting with one another, but in humility, count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. And then he brings about why we need to do this, because Christ has done it. Verse 5, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what this is saying, and the reason this is debated, is in what sense did Jesus empty himself? The Greek word there is the kenosis. So it's called the kenosis theory, and the doctrine of kind of unpacking what is the nature of this humility. But what I believe is the proper Christian understanding, it says Jesus, who existed in a form of God, meaning he was God before he added on to himself flesh. He was always God. He was always the Son of God. But when he took on flesh, he added something to himself, and he took on humanity. And that was, in a sense, a very humiliating or humbling thing to do. He didn't remove himself from being God. He was still God. But he was able to put a lot of his privilege, the status, the accolades, a lot of the aspects of being with God the Father in heaven, he was able to put that on the back burner and take on flesh. And he didn't depart from his godhood. Jesus didn't cease to be God when he came down to earth and took on flesh. But he took on humanity, and he emptied himself of the privileges of being God. And that I think is what we're called to do. We're not supposed to empty ourselves of the gifts that God gave us, but we're supposed to be willing to lay them down if necessary, so that we can essentially serve others and use those giftings ultimately to bring glory to God. And that really is the nature of humility.
And that's done through valuing others over ourselves, right? So there's no greater love to lay one down one's life. And we see that through charity. And I think, for me, one of the great takeaways and differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that the New Testament talks, starting with Jesus Christ, talking about charity over commitments. Now, in the Jewish tradition, there was a lot of commitments. But Jesus expanded this idea of charity, not just charity of money, but charity of time, charity of service, charity of prayer for each other, charity of even down to like healing prayer, and being vessels of him as disciples of Christ. And I think that charity aspect of it is really undervalued. And for listeners out there, I think one of the things, part of being humble is to serve. Humble people. Right. Jesus was humble. He washed people's feet, which back in the day was akin to the lowest. But he did that. He washed his disciples' feet.
So let's unpack that real quick, if we can. Is it true to say that Jesus was worthy enough that he should never have to wash anybody's feet?
I think the example is that none of us are worthy enough.
Well, no, I'm asking though, is it appropriate for the King of the universe to get down? Is he right to say, I should not have to wash other people's feet?
I'm better than that.
Is Jesus able to say that? Could he have said that?
Could have.
Absolutely. And he would be completely walking in his authority to do so.
Yeah.
But he chose not to walk in that. And that's the sense in which he sort of emptied himself. He took the rights and privileges and everything that it means to be God. And he said, I'm gonna put that aside for a little bit. And I'm gonna use my ability to become human to do something I don't have to do, but I want to do it. And that's the servant-minded Jesus that sets an example of humility for us to be following.
For most people out there who do charity work, I think that tenet persists. They are doing things that they could feel are beneath them, but are doing those things in humility to serve others. Now, there may be people out there who say, yeah, well, there's some people who do charity because they want to feel good about themselves. it's not a terrible thing. It's a stepping stone in the right direction. And then there's people out there who serve the poor, help the homeless. And there's a charitable side of that, which I think goes a long way in your walk with faith.
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think that's what we're ultimately made to do, is serve others. And I think you get more meaning in life than just about anything when you add value to those around you. But that attitude of humility ultimately coming from Jesus, I think is something that is also a marker and a tenet of a maturing Christian, which right. is why this is exactly what we're seeing. This is why Screwtape is getting concerned. You know, this guy is really maturing in his walk. He's kind of got a level headedness about him. He's realizing he's not, the whole world doesn't revolve around him. He's not the bomb.com, and he might be able to use his life to serve those around him. He's got a humble life, and it's something that ultimately is even derived from the example of Jesus.
So Galen, I mentioned earlier talking about how pride plays its part in modern day society and again, confronting evil in our time. I think, you know, here's a couple of really good examples. You look at people within, especially the entertainment industry, people who are adorned as stars and godlike figures themselves. They are worshipped on the stage by thousands of people. People have posters of them up in their room and they buy everything they do because they're a super fan, but they almost put them on a godlike stature. And then for that person, they become super prideful. And right. even to the point, if they don't serve others, everybody serves them. If they want blue M&Ms in their dressing room, that's what they're going to get. Get out of my way, peasant. I'm more important than you. Goes on all the time. And you get this within the entertainment industry. And for all those entertainers out there, it's a really tough place to be in an industry where prideful people are actually venerated and humble people are seen as maybe weak.
Mm-hmm.
And it ties hand in hand with the lack of Christians or open Christians in the entertainment industry, because it's hard to serve two masters.
Right.
You know, and from my background in it, I saw enough of that where there wasn't that compassion towards the poor and compassion towards the lowly. There was just scorn and despise. They were always elevating themselves. And it was that's why probably I had such a hard time being around it, because to me, it always felt really awkward to be in a situation where they dismiss people as not important.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could almost look at pride being a heightened awareness of your own perception and needs and praise. And then a need to see that realized, and humility is kind of a, kind of turning down that awareness and need for praise and recognition. So the people that are prideful have a very heightened awareness of themselves, and people that are humble, have a very tempered version and expectation for themselves.
But I think that's what comes in people who make themselves their own God. Is that they think all the gifts that they have, they got. They scrolled and they scratched and they scraped and they made it happen themselves. There was no one else helping them. And all the adoration that they have is because they're special. And it ties so well in to the story of the devil and being prideful and why God wanted nothing more to do with him. And the fact that he wanted God's throne anyway, again, ties into that same thing, is when you get, whether they're politicians or entertainment, music industry people who elevate themselves to that God status, like Caesar Augustus, like the pharaohs, they considered themselves God. And even if you go back to the Second World War, Emperor Hiroshito, he thought of himself as a god. And one of the ends of the Second World War with Japan, one of the things that America had as a had to happen was he had to come out and address his people and tell them, I am not God.
Wow. You know, it's crazy as you're saying that. Look at the contrast between all these men that view themselves to be gods and Jesus, who is a God, who is willing to put that off to the side for a little bit, in a sense, to be taken on as a man.
Right. Yeah. No, it's huge. And I think that as we go through life, and as I think you interact with people, elevate, support people who are humble, people who are charitable. Go out of your way to be a better servant and a better disciple of Christ by helping, working with, elevating those people. And it will rub off on you, and you will become more charitable. You will become more giving. You will value others over yourself. And, you know, in getting close to closing, I always have a vision in my head of the Titanic sinking and people pulling others off into the water to get onto the lifeboats. And there were men that were doing that. Now, the real stories of heroism were the men who actually got off themselves to get women and children on and swam away from the lifeboat.
Right. Right. That's it's a powerful illustration. It's a powerful, you know, image there.
No, right. Absolutely. About laying one's life down. So, yeah, this is a great letter on humility. I think it's a great Easter egg in there. Obviously, C.S. Lewis, as we're seeing in all of these, is tying a theme from Scripture into these. And that's why I think that from a Christian basis, this isn't just like fictional satire. There's so much more involved with this. And I think that's what makes this journey so beautiful.
Right. So it's a great episode unpacking the humility of Christ and how that plays out in the world today in our lives, or how it ought to anyway. So we will be signing off here and look forward to seeing you all again next time. Moving on to letter 15 up next in the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We'll see you next time.